The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from iShine Foundation, that's I with an E-Y-E, iShineFoundation.org. Upcoming events, February 2025, Saturday, February 8th, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Museum of Art, NC Museum of Art, Accessible Tactile Experience. Location, NC Museum of Art, West Lobby. Sign up at viewform. Website, https://ncartmuseum.org/. Additional information. Join us at the North Carolina Museum of Art for an accessible tactile art experience. During this 90-minute program, participants will explore art in a new way. Limited to 15 participants. Hosted by Omar and Taylor. March 2025, Sunday, March 9, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., what? Swimming. Location to be determined, either Pullen Park Aquatic Center or Buffalo Road Aquatic Center. Sign up at another long Google Doc. Website, https://raleighnc.gov/parks-and-recreation/services/aquatics. Additional information, please arrive by 12:45 p.m. Free for iShine Kids. Siblings are welcome. Wear your bathing suit, bring a towel, water shoes, and water bottle for swimming at the indoor pool. Snacks will be provided, hosted by William and Sarah. Past events we won't read. From android-developers.googleblog.com, the future is adaptive. Changes to orientation and resizability APIs in Android 16. Posted by Maru Ahuez Bouza, B-O-U-Z-A, Director, Product Management. With over 3 billion Android devices in use globally, the Android ecosystem is more vibrant than ever. Android mobile apps run on a diverse range of devices, from phones and foldables to tablets, Chromebooks, cars, and most recently, XR. Users buy into an entire device ecosystem and expect their apps to work across all devices. To thrive in this multi-device environment, your apps need to adapt seamlessly to different screen sizes and form factors. Many Android apps rely on user interface approaches that work in a single orientation and/or restrict the resizability. However, users want apps to make full use of their large screens, so Android device manufacturers added well-received features that override these app restrictions. With this in mind, Android 16 is removing the ability for apps to restrict orientation and resizability at the platform level, and shifting to a consistent model of adaptive apps that seamlessly adjust to different screen sizes and orientations. This change will reduce fragmentation with behavior that better meets user expectations and improves accessibility by respecting the user's preferred orientation. We're building tools, libraries, and platform APIs to help you do this today. to provide us a consistently excellent user experience across the entire Android ecosystem. What's changing? Starting with Android 16, we're phasing out manifest attributes and runtime APIs used to restrict an app's orientation and resizability, enabling better user experiences for many apps across devices. These changes will initially apply when the app is running on a large screen, where large screen means that the smaller dimension of the display is greater than or equal to 600 dp. This includes inner displays of large screen foldables, tablets including desktop windowing, desktop environments including Chromebooks. The following manifest attributes and APIs will be ignored for apps targeting Android 16 SDK 36 on large screens. Manifest attributes and ignored values. Screen orientation. Portrait, reverse portrait, sensor portrait, user portrait, landscape, reverse landscape, sensor landscape, user landscape. Set requested orientation parentheses. Portrait, reverse portrait, sensor portrait, user portrait, landscape, reverse landscape, sensor landscape, user landscape. Resizable activity. All. Min aspect ratio. All. Max aspect ratio. All. There are some exceptions to these changes for controlling orientation, aspect ratio, and resizability. As mentioned before, these changes won't apply for screens that are smaller than SW600DP. For example, most phones, flippables, outer displays on large screen foldables. Games will be excluded from these changes based on the Android : app category flag. Also, users have control. They can explicitly opt in to using the app's default behavior in the aspect ratio settings. Get ready for this change by making your app adaptive. Apps will need to support landscape and portrait layouts for window sizes and the full range of aspect ratios that users can choose to use apps in, as there will no longer be a way to restrict the aspect ratio and orientation to portrait or to landscape. To test if your app will be impacted by these changes, use the Android 16 Beta 1 developer preview with the Pixel Tablet and Pixel Fold series emulators in Android Studio, and either set target SDK preview to Baklava, or use the app compatibility framework by enabling the universal underscore resizable underscore by underscore default flag. For existing apps that restrict orientation and aspect ratio, these changes may result in problems like overlapping layouts. To solve these issues and meet user expectations, our vision is that apps are built to be adaptive, to provide an optimal experience whether someone is using the app on a phone, foldable, tablet, Chromebook, XR, or in a car. Resolving common problems. Avoid stretched UI components. If layouts were designed and built with the assumption of phone screens, then app functionality may break for other aspect ratios. For example, if a layout was built assuming a portrait aspect ratio, then UI elements that fill the max width of the window will appear stretched in landscape-oriented windows. If layouts aren't built to scroll, then users may not be able to click on buttons or other UI elements that are off-screen, resulting in confusing or broken behavior. At a maximum width to components to avoid stretching, and add scrolling to ensure all content is reachable. Ensure camera compatibility in both orientations. Camera viewfinder previews might assume a specific aspect ratio and orientation relative to the camera sensor, resulting in stretching or flipped previews when those assumptions are broken. Ensure viewfinders rotate properly and account for the UI aspect ratio differing from the sensor aspect ratio. Preserve state across window when window size changes. Removing orientation and aspect ratio restrictions also means that the window sizes of apps will change more frequently in response to how the user prefers to use an app, such as by rotating, folding, or resizing an app in multi-window or freeform windowing modes. Orientation changes and resizing will result in activity recreation by default. To ensure a good user experience, it is critical that app state is preserved through these configuration changes so that users don't lose their place in the app when changing posture or changing windowing modes. To account for different window sizes and aspect ratios, use window size glasses to drive layout behavior in a way that doesn't require device-specific customizations. Apps should also be built with the assumption that window sizes will frequently change. It's not necessary to build duplicate orientation-specific layouts. Instead, ensure your existing UIs can re-layout well, no matter what the window size is. If you have a landscape or portrait-specific layout, those layouts will still be used. Optimizing for window sizes by building adaptive. If you're already building adaptive layouts and supporting all orientations, you're set up for success, as your app will be prepared for each of the device types and windowing modes your users want to use your app in, and these changes should have minimal impact. We've also got a range of testing resources to help you guarantee reliability. You can automate testing with tools like the Espresso testing framework and Jetpack Compose testing APIs. FlipaClip is a great example of why building for multiple form factors matters. They saw 54% growth in tablet users in the 4 months after they optimized their app to be adaptive. Timeline. We understand that the changes are significant for apps that have traditionally only supported portrait orientation. UI issues like buttons going off screen, overlapping content, or screens with camera viewfinders may need adjustments. To help you plan ahead and make the necessary adjustments, here's the plan timeline outlining when these changes will take effect. Android 16, 2025. Changes described above will be the baseline experience for large screen devices. Smallest screen lift greater than 600 dp. For apps that target API level 36, with the option for developers to opt out. Android release in 2026. Changes described above will be the baseline experience for large screen devices. Smallest screen width over 600 dp for apps that target API level 37. Developers will not have an option to opt out. And there is a chart for that. The deadlines for targeting a specific API level are App Store specific. For Google Play, the plan is that targeting API 36 will be required in August 2026, and targeting API 37 will be required in August 2027. Preparing for Android 16. Refer to the Android 16 changes page for all changes impacting apps in Android 16, as well as additional resources for updating your apps if you are impacted. To test your app, download the Android 16 Beta 1 Developer Preview and update to target SDK preview equals baklava, or use the app compatibility framework to enable specific changes. We're committed to helping developers embrace this new era of adaptive apps and unlock the full potential of their apps across the diverse Android ecosystem. Check out the do's and don'ts for designing and building across multiple window sizes and form factors, as well as how to test across the variety of devices that your app will be used in. Stay tuned for more updates and resources as we approach the release of Android 16. From NFB.org. Making Meta accessible. Update on latest improvements. Dateline January 24. The National Federation of the Blind recognizes that accessible technology is crucial for blind individuals to live the lives we want. Accessibility barriers are preventable and unacceptable, hindering our full participation in society. Therefore, we actively collaborate with technology companies to enhance the accessibility of their products. Our contributions have significantly improved and will continue to improve. The tools used by blind people. In October 24, we initiated discussions with Meta regarding accessibility regressions on Facebook. The most critical concern was the depreciation of the MBasic Facebook site. Although this version was originally designed for mobile devices with limited capabilities, its simple text-based layout made it a viable alternative to the increasingly inaccessible Facebook desktop site for blind screen reader users. The MBasic site was discontinued for security reasons, and it seems Meta may not have fully understood the extent to which blind users depended on it. We are committed to collaborating with Meta to ensure the main Facebook site becomes fully accessible to the screen reader users. We are encouraged by Meta's willingness to work toward this goal. However, there is an urgent need to restore Facebook accessibility for those who access the platform solely through desktop or laptop computers. The absence of accessible options, particularly during the holiday season, has been frustrating and isolating for many. Thanks to the advocacy efforts of the National Federation of the Blind, Meta has introduced a URL that forces the current mobile Facebook experience to work on modern desktop and laptop browsers. Effective immediately, you can visit this URL, https://www.facebook.com/query:force_mobile=1. We recommend bookmarking this URL in your browser for a simpler text-based Facebook experience. While we appreciate Meta's response to our advocacy and the introduction of this workaround, we offer the following caveats. Unfortunately, there is currently no easy way to navigate from one post to another. We suggest that each Facebook post be identified by a heading or landmark to improve navigation. The page scrolls infinitely, so there is no set number of posts per page. Since this page is designed for mobile browsers, there may be other issues our testing has not yet uncovered. If you have any feedback on the functionality of this workaround, please send it to Jonathan Mosen, M-O-S-E-N, the NFB's Executive Director for Accessibility Excellence, J-M-O-S-E-N @nfb.org. Members have also provided us with feedback about regressions in Facebook for iOS. The most impactful bug related to difficulty composing posts because what users typed in the composer was not being seen by VoiceOver. We have assisted Meta to identify this issue, and we know Facebook users will be pleased that a fix is rolling out for this. Finally, in this round of fixes, Facebook has already rolled out an efficiency improvement to the timeline. Facebook made a change in the last year, which meant that a user's profile picture was seen as its own element by VoiceOver. This meant that each post required two swipes when navigating. This has now been restored to the previous, more efficient behavior. There is more to do, and we would have preferred that the depreciation of the M-Basic site had not resulted in such prolonged inconvenience for many blind people. Nevertheless, Meta has been receptive to our concerns and worked with us in good faith. Our partnership with Meta is stronger as a result, and we are continuing to dialogue with them on a range of issues, including improvements to the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. If you have concerns you wish to report about any technology you are using, we encourage you to make your own constructive approaches with the assistance of our self-advocacy toolkit. You can also alert us to issues you are having by completing our inaccessibility tracker form. Those are both hot links. We look forward to ongoing dialogue with Meta that makes further needed accessibility improvements. From Eyes for Life Canberra, eflc.org.au, Microwave Conversion Kit, $210 Australian. The above price includes their tax. Description: this kit can be added on to existing microwaves in order to create a talking microwave. Upon purchase, we will email an instruction manual for use and an installation manual for the technician installing the converter. The kit is designed to be installed by an appliance company to any brand of existing microwave, so long as the microwave is no older than 5 years. The kit will work with any microwave to make it then work as a talking microwave. Therefore, all actions are spoken out loud when buttons are pushed. Although these kinds of microwaves would be best, they have a control panel that can be removed and there are no knobs or dials that will interfere. https://www.bingleeu/products/panasonic-nn-st64jwqpq-321-inverter-microwave-oven query ref=a-2_bc. And https://www.bingleeu.com.au/products/silver-20I compact B-microwave-NN-ST23QMQPQ query REF equals 2X capital B9KP. If in Canberra, we have a recommended appliance place that can do this for you. However, if you are interstate, you would have to source your own appliance place or preparer that could do this for you. Microwave not included in kit. Click below for a preview of the conversion kit's sound. From getting in touch with literacy.org at gitwl.org. Launch into Literacy 2025, Huntsville, Alabama. November 5th through 8th, 2025, Embassy Suites and Von Braun Center, Huntsville, Alabama. Call for proposals, including posters, now open. Deadline to submit, February 10, 2025. Hosted by Allied Instructional Services and DVIDB. A multi-day conference of talks, activities, and workshops related to the teaching of literacy to individuals who are blind or visually impaired, in addition to pre-conference and field trip opportunities. This year new assistive technology track. We will have a whole track dedicated to assistive technology that supports teaching, learning, and literacy for students and adults with visual impairments. SCIVIS Experience Tours, Space Camp for Interested Visually Impaired Students. Join us as we travel together to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center as we get a behind-the-scenes look at this amazing one-week-per-year opportunity for students with blindness and visual impairments. Morning and afternoon trips offered during Wednesday, November 5, pre-conference, or Thursday, November 6. Space is limited. Welcome reception with opening keynote speaker, singer-songwriter Blessing Ofor, singer-songwriter from Nigeria who made his start on The Voice. Although Blessing is legally blind from glaucoma, he continues to overcome his challenges and experience success while inspiring others. Wednesday, November 5th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Trip to and tour of Helen Keller's birthplace, Ivy Green. Join us on a bus ride to Ivy Green, the birthplace of Helen Keller. Well, we will learn about where we will learn and tour the house where Helen grew up and even get to see the historic pump that provided the miracle breakthrough. Morning and afternoon trips offered during Wednesday, November 5, pre-conference, and afternoon only on Thursday, November 6. Space is limited. Other currently scheduled events include a pre-conference session with field trips on Wednesday, 11:05, reception and opening keynote with drinks and hors d'oeuvres, and live entertainment with singer-songwriter, recording artist Blessing Ofor. Thursday, opening general session, concurrent sessions 1, 2, 3, and 4, poster sessions, field trips and exhibits, box lunch included, evening activity to be announced. Friday, November 7, 8:30 to 5:15 p.m., awards breakfast, keynote session 2, concurrent sessions 5, 6, 7, and 8, and exhibit hall. Saturday, November 8, 2025, 8:30 to 1 p.m., concurrent sessions 9, 10, and 11, and closing general section. The goal of this event is to bring those passionate about literacy for the blind and visually impaired together from across the globe. There is an image of two women hugging. Kay Holbrook and Janie Humphreys-Blohm getting in touch with literacy conference founders, colleagues, and best friends. GITWL was founded on the desire for those passionate about literacy to come together to collaborate, share ideas, learn, and have fun. There is a hot button to register now. From changeaccess.com, Assistive Technology Basics, A Guide for Accessibility Advocates, author Tiffany Wilson. Assistive technology definition, any item, piece of equipment, or product system that aids individuals by increasing, maintaining, or improving their functional independence. Understanding the full AT spectrum. Assistive technology, AT, plays a vital role in creating inclusive and accessible environments for individuals with disabilities. This guide provides a user-friendly framework for understanding the diverse landscape of AT and its practical applications. AT encompasses a wide range of tools and technologies, from simple modifications to complex digital systems. To navigate this variety, we categorize AT into three key areas: levels, settings, and domains. The article introduces the 3-3-10 framework, 3 levels, 3 settings, and 10 domains. A mnemonic device developed by the author to simplify these categories and equip you to effectively advocate for comprehensive AT solutions. Levels. Tech levels describe the complexity and sophistication of AT, similar to technology in general. Number 1, low tech. Simple, often inexpensive, and easy to use. Printed symbols, pencil grips, colored paper. Mid-tech, more advanced than low-tech and less complex than high-tech. Examples, portable electronic organizers, voice recorders, electronic magnifiers. 3, high-tech, the most complex, advanced solutions available. Examples, tablet-based communication systems, screen readers, environmental control systems. AT doesn't always mean high-tech or expensive. The median one-time cost of employment accommodations for individuals with disabilities is only $300. Settings 3. Beyond tech levels, AT is categorized by its primary application setting. Understanding these settings helps AT specialists identify the primary functions of specific solutions, ensuring they meet individual needs across various environments. Importantly, this categorization is not static. A device may be primarily used in one setting, such as work, but can also be adapted for use in other environments, like home or school, based on the user's evolving needs. Number 1, education. AT used in learning environments to facilitate access to education. Number 2, employment. AT used in work settings to support job performance. Number 3, community or independent living. AT used in daily activities, community participation, and living independently. Domains of assistive technology, 10. To provide a clearer understanding of AT's diverse applications, these technologies are grouped into 10 domains. Each domain addresses specific functional needs, ensuring that individuals receive customized support. Number 1, computers and related. Facilitate computer and information communication technology access. Examples, modified keyboards, touch screens, accessibility software. Number 2, daily living, independent living. Enhance independence in daily activities like bathing and eating. Examples, adapted utensils, zipper pullers, smart assistants. Number 3, environmental adaptations or control. Modify the built environment to improve accessibility and reduce barriers. Examples, smart environmental controls, remote door switches. Number 4, hearing. Provide access to auditory information for those with hearing loss or deafness. Examples, assisted listening devices, alerting systems, and automated captioning. Though titled hearing, this category focuses on more than just sound amplification. It ensures equitable access for all, including those who may not rely on auditory methods, such as individuals who are deaf or deafblind. Number 5, learning, cognition, and developmental. Support cognitive and developmental needs across ages and environments. Examples, visual timers, adapted toys for motor skill development, and text-to-speech software. Number 6, mobility, seating, and positioning. Address mobility disabilities and promote safe seating. Examples, wheelchairs, orthotics, seating aids. Number 7, recreation, sports, and leisure. Assist participation in recreational activities. Examples, adaptive sports equipment, accessible beach chairs. Number 8, speech communication. Aid communication for individuals with speech disabilities. Examples, speech-generating devices, communication boards. Number 9, vehicle modification. Enable vehicle access and transportation safety. Examples, vehicle ramps, adaptive vehicle controls. Number 10, vision. Improve access and participation for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. Examples, magnifiers, screen reading software, braille displays. Conclusion. In a world where AT is continuously evolving, this guide aims to inspire awareness rather than enforce rigid definitions. Understanding these categories empowers us to create truly inclusive environments. While this article highlights assistive technologies, it is critical to remember that the broader concept of accessibility encompasses the diverse needs of all individuals. The week's episode is out of time. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is available at NC.